May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Today I'm going to tell you the secret of life. You probably know what the secret is. It is one of those secrets hidden in plain sight. It is something that we do not like to talk about, but it will eventually happen to all of us. It is one of those secrets that can trouble the soul to the core. So we run from it, turn away from it, or close our eyes to it. Of course, it is about death. Should we be frightened of this topic? It is certainly one not to be ignored. I suspect that the Greeks in today's gospel did not go expecting to talk or hear about death. They just wanted to see Jesus, and who can blame him? Let's face it, Jesus has a pretty good track record. Up to this point, he has cleansed the temple, turned water into wine, healed a small boy, fed the 5,000, given sight to the blind, and raised Lazarus from the dead. I want to see Jesus. I bet you do too. Seeing Jesus makes it all real. After all, seeing, they say, is believing. We all have our reasons for wanting to see Jesus. So when Jesus hears that the Greeks want to meet with him, Jesus' response to their request to see him was this: unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So what did Jesus mean by this? We have a certain unwillingness to change. But what Jesus was describing is that unless we willingly change our ways, by moving away from that that causes us to sin, we remain no more than a seed and one that cannot be transformed because of our own negligence. However, should we choose to not do the things that cause us to sin and draw closer to God, we would not only produce much good works, but we will have eternal life through knowing Jesus and accepting him as our Saviour. Jesus had used the seed metaphor before. For instance, Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23, and Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And what is being clearly illustrated is that planting a seed in the ground will need to be taken care of, watered, fed, and nurtured. And just as a seed is seen as a small and insignificant, so our faith can start its journey with a small and ordinary encounter with the Word of God. And as we nurture and cultivate our faith, over time, it can and will grow into something much more meaningful and profound. That is the secret of life. So how can we relate to the seed metaphor in our lives? Even if you've never thought of this as the secret to life, you have lived and experienced it, sometimes by choice and other times by chance. Either way, it's there. My faith journey began in my early 30s, when I recognized that some of my actions could be seen as hurtful to others. I consciously knew when this was happening. The difference was that I did not know Jesus then. And this negative and destructive behavior was part of my growing up. If you have ever fallen in love and committed your life to another person, but believed you could continue to act as if you were a single person, I am sure you had to let parts of your old life go and something of your single life died. Adjustments had to be made. And now that you are in a partnership, continuing your journey together, nurturing one another, sharing love and friendship with each other. How about parenting? If you are a parent, you know that there are sacrifices of yourself and your life that you will need to make for the new life of your child to emerge and grow. But when something of us dies, it gives way to renewal and new life. When we think about the scriptural stories of loss and renewal, we see this through God's works in the prophets of old. Abram left his country and kindred so that he might be made a great nation, renamed Abraham, and be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Jacob lost his old identity and was wounded so that he could become a new man, Israel, with a new life. James and John left their father boats and nets to become disciples of Jesus and fishers of people. The secret is out. It is everywhere. It is a pattern of loss and renewal, dying and rising, letting go and getting back, leaving and returning, learning and implementing. It is at the core of our baptism, and it is what we declare every Sunday in the Eucharist. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. When we make the decision to adjust our actions or way of life, we are saying goodbye to our old ways. We are saying that we no longer want to go against God's will for our lives. There is a temptation to want to skip over death and get to resurrection. So it is no coincidence that this week and last week, the church points us towards Holy Week and reminds us that death is the gateway to new life. Death comes first. Death is not always, however, physical. It can be spiritual or emotional. We die a thousand deaths every day. Deaths of relationships, marriages, hopes, dreams, careers, health, beliefs. Regardless of what it looks like, this is not the end. Resurrection is always hidden within death. There can be, however, no resurrection without a death. What in your life do you need to let go of today? What might you need to leave behind? What needs to die so that something new can arise? In every death, there is life. This is the big message of Lent and of Easter. The grain of wheat will die and will, through death, nourish us with food. In the death of our relationships of health or faith and all that may be dear to us, there is always the invitation to deeper life. In our final death is the calling to everlasting life. Amen.